Hi, I'm Lauren Edmonds. I'm the founder and owner of a school that supports children with learning delays. I'm hoping this space gives you something to think about.
I want to talk about curiosity, and I'm doing this recording in a different place, at my dining room table, because I have all my books out, I have my notepads out, my pen, and I'm creating mind maps around this topic of curiosity in order to talk to you about it. And the idea just unpacks in bigger and bigger ways. And I need to do it here with everything right in front of me, with all of my research, with all of my ideas, with all of my connections, so I can talk to you about the unbelievable power of igniting curiosity in your child. And I'm talking to both parents and teachers because their role is so similar when it comes to learning. Both of them, the adults in a child's life, can have profound impacts on where they go in their future or where they don't go. And one of the ways we can do this is through this idea of curiosity. And there's a beautiful quote, and I think I got it out of Ian Leslie's book, which is called Curious, The Desire to Know and Why Your Future Depends on It. And he says, the sweetest form of dissatisfaction is what curiosity is. It kind of starts with this idea that curiosity is not an absence of knowledge, but rather a gap in your knowledge. So he speaks about we cannot be curious about a topic until we know a little bit about it and we want to know more. But equally, when we get too proficient, we know so much about the topic, we lose our curiosity as well on the other end. So it's like this upside down bell curve where our curiosity is zero and then it peaks and then we almost insatiable. And then we kind of get satisfied by what we know. And hopefully we have this curious ability and skills in us that can take us onto to new topics and into new places to keep learning. In his book, in Leslie's book, one of the things he talks about is why we don't ask. And I want to start there because he talks about four reasons why we don't ask questions, which would, of course, be part of blocking or stopping the progress of curiosity. And the four things he talks about is, number one, it's to protect ourselves from looking stupid. Number two, we're too busy or distracted to even think about asking the questions. Number three, the culture we're in, the environments we're in, discourages questions. And number four, the lack of skills to ask the question in the first place. Now, all four of those, for me, have tangible actions we can take as both parents and teachers to raise the level of curiosity in a child. But firstly, I want to ask the question or answer the question, why on earth is it important for our children to be curious? And then I want to lean into Anat Benil's work and the work she does on neuroplasticity. She talks about the learning switch. And in particular, in the beginning of the chapter where she talks about the learning switch, she calls it her essential number seven. She says, when the switch is turned on, it can be on a higher setting for your child to be a more powerful learner, or on a lower setting for a less effective learner. Now, this is important because she's talking about children with disability, specifically cognitive and also physical disability that's linked into brain-body connection. And she's talking about if we cannot turn the child's learning switch on, then learning doesn't happen and mastery cannot be achieved. How interesting is that? And if we talk to the experts and lean into their knowledge around curiosity, is that fear kills curiosity and curiosity supercharges learning. So if we want the learning switch to be on, how do we engage the child in their own thinking and their own learning so that they are switched on? And one of the ways is through curiosity, or maybe that's the only way. But let's go back to the four reasons why perhaps we don't ask questions, we don't lean into our curiosity, specifically in public, but I think we do it privately as well. Protect ourselves from looking stupid. We're too busy or distracted. We're not reflecting enough to even think about it, so there's no questions coming to our mind. We're discouraged from asking questions through various put-downs that happen, or we just don't have the skill. So I started my mapping this out, and I started with the first one, that we protect ourselves from looking stupid. And how can we as adults get children to be brave enough to ask questions? And one of the ways is to stop making them feel like asking questions is a bad thing or a dangerous thing for them to do. And I think we do that first by responding to their questions in a way that encourages the question. So we need to stop eye rolling and sighing. We need to respond by going, that's an interesting question. I'm so glad you asked it. And we do it with robustness and with the intention of getting them to feel like that was a great question. I'm now going to lean into the answer to this. Or perhaps I'm going to lean into, I don't know. And I'm going to model that I need to think about this for a moment, because that's also a valid answer to a question. So what the adult does in the face of a question is going to teach the child what questions are for. Are questions to get you out of it? Are questions to shut you down and make you feel stupid? What are questions there for? And it's the same. I've spoken about what is pointing for. Children learn what something is for by the reaction that adults have to them when they do it. So questions are there to grow knowledge, grow ability, improve, grow your brain, develop you as a person, switch you on. So we want questions. So the adults in the child's life need to find ways that they can encourage questions and specifically look at ways in which they are discouraging questions and then stop doing that. Because we discourage questions by brushing it off, by not acknowledging the question in the first place, by rolling our eyes, by saying things like, that's a stupid question, or were you not listening to me, or I just answered that question, or don't be silly. Those kind of things shut down children, not just shutting down the question, they shut down the thinking and they shut down the curiosity. And when we shut down the curiosity, we shut down the learning. Okay, so this is really, really important that we as adults role model for other children how they should behave, but we must respond in a way that encourages the question. And no question is stupid. Absolutely no question is stupid. The asking of the question is the importance. And even if they ask a question that has just been asked and answered, you might say to them, that is still an excellent question. I'm so glad you asked it. So Jane just asked that same question and I answered it in this way, but perhaps I can add something to the same question because I think that's a powerful question. And what a beautiful way to answer somebody rather than saying, yeah, but we just answered that. Because that just shuts them down completely and puts fear into curiosity, which of course then kills it. So nodding, leaning forward, saying, good question. I'm glad you asked that. So we're affirming the person rather than shutting them down is so, so important. And I've got a quote that I've written here. It says, you are a developing person and I'm interested in your development. Isn't that a beautiful way to think as a teacher and as a parent? You are a growing, developing, progressing person, and I'm very interested in your development. What questions do you have? And to respond to those questions in ways that open up learning and switch on the learning switch. So we want to be respectful. We want to answer them in encouraging ways. And we want to think about growth mindset. We want to think about, I've written down here, if you praise me for being quick or perfect, and not having questions, then I will stay away from tasks where I do have questions or where I am slow or I make mistakes and I'm not perfect. Rather praise me for being a powerful, strong learner, for taking mistakes and progressing from them, for asking questions that try to bridge this knowledge gap that you have. Praise me for the actions I take, for the verbs, not for the nouns. Don't bring my character down. We want to give them the message that we are proud of you for the work that you put in, for the effort and the choices that you're making. And the mistakes are part of your learning. We're so impressed with you that you made the mistake and you recognized it and you did something about it. How else can I help you to do something about that mistake? And leaning into learning and growth rather than the end result of a good mark. That's a great mark. You didn't even need to study. Well done for getting an A. What does the child do with that? I think they learn that not studying is valued in getting an A rather than studying. And I've personally experienced this with my own children, is not having questions was something that was praised in their class. So it's so great that you don't have any questions. It means you were listening. Don't mean that, right? Not having any questions means curiosity hasn't set in. You're not fully engaged, or maybe the work was too easy. So the praise is misplaced. We really are. We're praising children for keeping quiet. I know as a facilitator of adults, I used to stand in a room and the worst thing we could say is, does everybody understand? Because people want to move on. So they all go, yes. Meanwhile, three people in the room probably don't understand. So that's not the question you want to be asking. You want to be getting people's curiosity really piqued. So what's interesting is low confidence or high confidence in a topic has low curiosity. Medium confidence has higher curiosity. So we want to give children a little bit of skill and then sort of wait for them to kind of think about, well, what do I do with this now? What does this mean? How does this work? This one's a bit more difficult. What can I do here? And those questions, those deliberate leaning into the pursuit of knowledge and skill is part of the skill that we want children to have. How do I ask the question in a way that I will elicit a great response? So one of the things we do at Amartis is we understand that a child is going to leave us at some point and they're going to go into a more typical environment. So one of the things we teach is, how do you as a child manage the adult's response to you when you have a question to ask? And that's a second level or a higher level of curiosity skill. How do I make sure that the teacher recognizes my curiosity, even if it's a stupid question, and responds to me in a way that is respectful, that is useful to me? Developing that skill is equally important because we've got children going back into typical environments that are not as accommodating as we might be. So that leans into the skill. The first skill is, don't be afraid to not know something. And we need to model it. And when they're not afraid, to praise that and to teach them skill into that. To look at, are they distracted? Is their learning switch on and therefore their curiosity is on? Or is it sort of dead in the water and you're going nowhere with this? I wrote something else down here. It says, asking good questions stimulates the hunger to know more by opening up exciting new known unknowns. And that's a fascinating topic in itself. So I'm going to stop there for a moment because the topic of this is actually very broad. So I'll talk to it again. But I think the big takeaway for me is, when your child is not asking questions, it doesn't mean he knows everything. It means something else. He's either protecting himself from looking stupid. He's not interested. He's very distracted. He's not putting any energy into it. His learning switch is off. You could potentially be discouraging questions. You don't even know you're doing it. So self-awareness is important. And then does he actually or she actually have the skill to ask the question? The bravery? Do they just blurt out and interrupt and that tends to get a negative response from an adult? Do they tap you on the shoulder? Do they lean in and ask the question? Do they have the vocabulary for asking questions? What does a child do after they've asked a question? Because if they ask a question and while you're responding, they're switching off. They're asking a question not to know, but to do something else. So being curious about that yourself is so important. And I think above all else is to model making mistakes, because that's where the learning is, and to model curiosity yourself, because children pick up what they see. And I think if we can embrace curiosity more with children who have any barrier to learning, I think we remove a multitude of barriers because we drive the learning experience from the child's point of view. And I think that's really interesting.